Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Today, we're going to learn about how resveratrol can help reduce inflammation, Georgia State University, and a lot more. I have so much to put on today's show, I have to go a little quicker to the show itself instead of giving an overview. But here's what we got coming at you. YouTube has now officially gone on record as banning anything that it deems is not acceptable. Now, YouTube is owned by Google, and Google is in the pharmaceutical business. They're pro-vaccines. They also fund Wikipedia. And also, if you're banned on Google and Wikipedia is attacking you, the likelihood is that Facebook will take you down and you'll be attacked on Twitter, or they'll take you down. That's exactly what's happening. So what we're going to do, I actually got the video clip of the actual little press conference, only 2 minutes of it, of the woman who heads YouTube talking about the justification for going after these, in effect, wrong people, bad people. Well, then we got one of those people who now is feeling the consequences of the official attacks. This is one of the greatest scientists in American history. In fact, one of the most published authors on PubMed in all of history and all the world. And yet they're going after him with a passion. You'll hear a short clip of him from the Sunday. So we have that for you. And also, I posted a little short video. It's from Spain. It's of a 16-year-old girl, totally healthy, got the vaccines and died immediately of heart attacks. And instead of just giving it as another person and a statistic, someone had taken a little home video of the funeral. But when you see all these pallbearers and her family and friends, members of a community, seeing her little body carried out, it really touches a different level of your consciousness. You can't be that dismissive. This was a life taken that didn't have to, so Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and all the thousands of people profit from you taking a vaccine, whether you need it or not. That's the reality. And all these deaths are being denied, and all these injuries are being denied. So this is why they who are causing the problem are covering for those accidents and not showing you any of this, all the more reason why people should look for the truth. And it's not the mainstream. And it's not on Google, Facebook, Wikipedia, or Twitter. We'll share it with you. Also, a short clip today, this morning, from Del Bigtree. Now, we've been told repeatedly by Anthony Fauci, you don't need the mask, it's worthless. You do need a mask, now you need two masks, etc. Del Bigtree did what had to be done, and I want you to share this with as many people as you can. He took his son, and he put all the masks from the N95 clear down to the cloth masks, and even the mask of where you wear a t-shirt, etc. And he took a state-of-the-art carbon dioxide meter that measures carbon dioxide, and he put it under the mask. Now, there are safe limits, and there are unsafe limits. Not only did every single mask exceed unsafe limits, it exceeded it by double or triple. Now, that was all within 60 seconds. Now, think of what's happening when children are wearing that mask at 200 to 1,000 to 2,000% above a healthy level all day long. What do you think that's doing to their brains? Well, I have one of the world's leading neurologists on tomorrow to discuss what we're doing to millions of children's brains. Again, all for profit. Do you think Congress cares? Do you think anyone in government cares? Do you think most of the medical community cares? Nobody cares in that official position. And those who do care have remained silent. That's our show today. Let's start with the latest on health and healing. Oh, and by the way, the longest part of my show today I've set aside because you all want to hear what's going on with the ozone hole over the Antarctic, which is three times the size of America, especially since the government says only ultraviolet A and B is reaching this, and that's not bad, but it's ultraviolet C. They see it's not breaking through. Dame Wigington is my guest, and he'll show you that it is. So I've set more time aside for Dame. Resveratrol is one of nature's most important phytonutrients. You get it when you eat grapes and other fruits. And it can control inflammation induced by bacterial pathogens that are linked to upper respiratory tract inflammatory diseases like asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, middle ear infections, otitis media. And that's all according to the researchers at Georgia State University, and this was published in Scientific Reports. So it's easy to get it, but it alleviates inflammation in airway disease. But it also helps with the brain because it turns off inflammation in the brain. Helps people with dementia, Alzheimer's, in the 100 to 300 milligram gram area. So just one thing that can protect us. Also from the University of Michigan comes a 12-year study showing that cognitive function is maintained among older people who feel good about life, who have something to live for each day when they awaken. That's important. All right? So good news there. So feeling happy about yourself and your life slows the cognitive decline among older adults. That's this latest study. And better psychological well-being, we know, helps lower your blood pressure and actually extends your telomeres. So just look for the reasons why you should feel good about today, not just the bad reasons, the good reasons. Look for solutions. This was published in the Journal of Aging and Health. Also from University of East Anglia, children who eat more fruits and vegetables have better mental health. But of course they would. So the more veggies, the more fruits, the more juices made from fresh vegetables and fruits, the better mental well-being of children. Now think of it this way. Think of the countries around the world. I can use two. Scandinavia, like Finland, that has the best educational system in the world, that doesn't require homework. They have a whole group of teachers who care about the students. So the curriculum is based upon what the student can learn. It's not based upon conformity. It's based upon uniqueness of the learning experience. And the teachers control the system. Our society, teachers used to control the system, now layer upon layer upon layer of completely fraudulent, totally corrupt bureaucrats, technocrats, control our educational system. And we all know that. I'm a teacher, been so for a long time. Many of you took my classes at the new school, the Fairleigh Dickinson University for a long time, and College New Rochelle, etc., Pratt Institute. So I know what it's like to be a teacher. I am one. I know what it's like to teach a class where the student's interest is first, and how to convey messages that they can relate to. That's good teaching. Teaching to the test is fraudulent. You can thank George Bush and No Child Left Behind and Barack Obama for creating this terrible system we have today. But in any case, all other systems, like in Japan, they care about the mental well-being of the children. So the children go in the morning and do all the janitorial work, sterilize all the desks, the rooms. They go in at lunch and do all the cooking. So they have a conscientious attitude. They go home and keep their rooms clean, because keeping an orderly lifestyle and being able to maintain your sense of hygiene and health and feel good about yourself, and of course the Finnish diet and a lot of the diets, especially Japanese, are rich in healing foods, including fruits and vegetables every day. And they found that they scored the highest on mental well-being. What isn't part of growing up with a good mental attitude? Of course it is. Also today, from Children's Hospital in Boston, they found that low-carbohydrate diets are popular because they help people control diabetes. And that is the outcome. So keep off the sugars, keep off the refined carbohydrates, the donuts, the bagels, and the potato chips, the french fries, and go towards complex carbohydrates, nuts and seeds, legumes and pulses, and you'll be healthier and control diabetes. That was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And one other one right now, and that is that sunlight exposure guidelines may need to be revised based upon new information out of King's College London. Why? Previous published solar exposure guidelines for optimal vitamin D synthesis was based on a study of skin samples that may need to be revised. And the study at King's College supports the idea that we need a little bit more sunlight. But if you're using all those sun tanning lotions, sunscreens and blockers, you're not allowing the vitamin D to actually get into the skin. Now, we know that ultraviolet radiation from sunlight can cause sunburn and skin cancer. The key is not staying out long and exposing the whole body so that you end up with a burn, because that's going to wrinkle your skin later, and it could cause skin cancer earlier. So you'll need to realize, get your sunlight in the morning, get your sunlight in the afternoon, and try not to get full body exposure like laying like a frying egg on a beach in the middle of the day, because that's where you're getting too much of the wrong type. So you want to get your vitamin D and wear shorts, wear short sleeves, and you can get that. And by the way, University of British Columbia, an article published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, at-home workouts were very effective at reducing people's depression levels during the early months of the COVID pandemic. So the more you exercise, the less depression. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to shorten up our health nutrition segment today because I want to take you over, when we come back from the break, to YouTube. I want you to see the person. Go to prn.fm, scroll down, because I put all the notes of my show there, all the footnotes, all the scientific peer review journals, so you can validate everything. But watch this woman with a stridency, an arrogance, an intellectual conceit that she's right and everyone else is wrong who questions Anthony Fauci, COVID, or anything else that's official. And they're there to punish you. And then we're going to show you someone they've punished.
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends.
The second area, fake news. This is a hard area. You know, a year ago, we didn't have the term fake news. Now everything is about fake news. We hear about it every single day. It's had a lot of concerns about how it affected the election, how it affects politics. News is important to us. We are a platform with global distribution. We talked about the number of users that are coming to us. We have some responsibility to make sure that we are delivering the news when something important happens in the world, when there's a crisis. We think people could benefit from this news. So it's, news has always been important to YouTube. We also see people in locations like Syria where their traditional news organizations can't get to, and people are talking about citizen journalism coming out of Syria. So what are we doing? Basically, this sounds easy, but it's really hard to do. We're pushing down the fake news, we're demoting it, and we are increasing the authoritative news and promoting it. How do we do that? We have...
Okay, we're pushing down and censoring fake news, which means everything out that you can hear on this program and other programs, all that now is considered fake. And we're giving the official, meaning what comes out of the White House, what comes out of the Pentagon, what comes out of the CIA and National Security Agency, what comes out of those in power and corporate America. That's real news. My God. I had to post one of Joseph Goebbels' speeches, who was the minister of propaganda in Nazi Germany. He used Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda in the United States, as his mentor. This is how fascism, totalitarianism occurs. Now, let's go to one of the most important, honored, respected, and credentialed medical doctors and scientists in world history. He's right at the top, and he started talking about he made a big mistake, and he's now paying for it. He started saying that he didn't believe that he should see a patient who had symptoms at the beginning of COVID and just wait till they were so sick they had to go into intensive care and get intubated. Instead, he started to treat him with whatever drugs he could get that were FDA approved, and he started to find the combinations of different drugs and nutrients, including quercetin, vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin A and vitamin D, would make a big difference along with other regular mainstream medications. He began to collaborate with doctors in Italy who were saving lives. And so he saved lives. Initially, before he did this, a few of his patients died. Since that time, they don't die. In fact, he is so good at what he does that thousands of patients who got COVID never had to go to the hospital. He was able to overcome their diseases, help them. So they now have natural immunity. They're protected and they're alive. Thousands of doctors in the United States were following because he and other doctors published the most read article out of 50,000 articles on COVID. Not one of them, of 50,000, talked about how to prevent this, how to prevent the person from getting into the hospital until waiting till vaccines and some miracle drug. So his mistake was actually healing patients and saving their lives. Today in medicine, isn't it ironic? If you save lives and other doctors save lives and your information causes thousands of doctors to save millions of lives around the world, you're punished for that. That's exactly how much of a police state we live in today. So now let's hear what he has to say and watch him. This is a man who never had a controversy in his career, 40-year impeccable career. And this is what the woman at YouTube, this is what the owners of Google, this is what the fascist in our society, and they're all fascists, in my opinion, in positions of power, corporate fascism, government fascism, technocratic fascism, bureaucratic fascism. Remember, when the SWAT teams come, they don't come to share a moment of insight with you. They're coming like they're not even human. And they came after him. Listen to what he has to say.
I think I'm going to be stripped of that title within a week. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cardio Reviews and Cardiovascular Medicine. I think I will be stripped of that within a month. Today, I was stripped of the editorship of Cardiorenal Medicine, a Swiss-based journal. And in the last year, I have lost my job at a major health system with no explanation and no due process. I've been stripped of every title that I've ever had in that institution. I've received a threat letter from the American College of Physicians, a threat letter from the American Board. And it's not, listen, Dr. Brownstein, other people here have had it worse. Okay, so whatever's happening is happening because of this, because of our efforts to have some scientific interchange. We are participating in a topic of public importance. That's the reason why every table is full. What we are doing is lawful. What's not lawful and what's not right is what's happening with respect to censorship and the threat of reprisal. I'm the senior associate editor of American Journal of Cardiology, and if Bill Roberts can keep me in there, I'll hang in there. And my tagline is America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, he's lost all of his titles, all of his academic positions, and on the boards, the editor-in-chief of major peer-reviewed scientific journals, over 1,000 citations in the peer-reviewed PubMed. No one else has that. And over 640 articles he's published in major journals. And now they are trying to destroy him. And they're doing that with all these leading people. But these people are fighting back. Alternative doctors don't fight back. They're cowards. I don't respect any of them. Now, I'm telling you that. I've told you that to their face. Will you come and join me in a demonstration to protect your career? No, I don't, you know, I'll lose money. I heard that from Deepak and others. Yeah, too bad. These guys have real courage. Do I agree with how they practice medicine? Most of the time, I would have a different point of opinion. But I sure do respect the fact when you fight an orthodox person, you're going to get a fight in return. Now we're watching this carry on. But the people in power can strip you behind the scenes because Bill Gates provides the money and Gavi provides the money. The World Health Organization provides the money. What a corrupt world we live in today with sociopaths running it and Google and Facebook. Get the hell off those sources. You can't have it both ways. You can't be using their credit cards, buying their clothes, listening to their music, buying their cell phones, putting money in their banks, voting for their candidates. If you voted Democrat or Republican in the last 30 years, you should have a moment of pause and reflect upon what did I vote for and why, and what were the outcomes, what was promised and what was delivered. Then maybe you'll have that clarion moment. Now, Just to put a fine point on this, let's go to Del Bigtree. Here's Del explaining and showing you, watch this, see the numbers on this meter. This is real science, something that they can't lie about. So when they tell your kid you've got to wear that face mask, are they going to be responsible for all the neurological damage? No, no one will. Everybody walks away when they've caused the wreck and their body's all over the place. They're Pontius Pilate. They wash their hands of this. Here's the reality of what happens when your kid wears a mask.
My son, Ever. Ever's 11 years old, and here in Texas, the mandate right now is that 10 and over have got to wear a mask. Ever has to wear a mask wherever we go, and so we bought this thing this week. This is this measures the amount of CO2 that's in the air. Can we just look at the ocean numbers? Carbon dioxide levels and potential health problems are indicated below. From 250 to 350 is the background normal outdoor level, 350 to 1,000 ppm typical level found in occupied spaces with good air exchange, 1,000 to 2,000 level associated with complaints of drowsiness and poor air. Obviously, I don't want Ever to have drowsiness or poor air. 2,000 to 5,000 level associated with headaches, sleepiness, and stagnant, stale, stuffy air, poor concentration, loss of attention, increased heart rate, and slight nausea may also be present. And then 5,000 ppm or more. This indicates unusual air conditions where high levels of the other gases also could be present. Toxicity or oxygen deprivation could occur, meaning do not hit 5,000. All right, here we go. Right now we're at 848. So I'm going to go ahead and just insert this right like as he did, right underneath, and try and keep it. That feels pretty tight right there, right? Okay, so you can, you know, just breathe naturally. Let's just see what happens. Okay. All right, so we're at 1,367. We've already just passed two. So now we're in the place where he can be having headaches. He can be, oh, we're at 3,786. Look at this. We've just passed 5,000. Now we're in the toxic level. Right now we could be doing this. 7,000 inside this mask of the CO2. 8,000 parts per million. And now this thing's gone off the Richter scale, folks. It can't even register how high the CO2 levels are inside. And look how many seconds that was. All right.
Can I just...
Yeah, you want to take that off? Just in case you're thinking to yourself, well, that was a really good mask, that was an N95 mask. Just before the show, we tested a couple of different things that you may be putting on your baby. Take a look at this.
Deep, calm breathing. He went on to demonstrate cloth masks. The inexpensive kind of little blue ones you see everyone wearing. Every single mask, no exception, went above 5,000. They almost all went to 9,000. That is double the toxic level that the government's own standards say you should not be breathing. And that was all within 30 seconds of breathing it. Just remember, I'm sharing this with you because we're going to see millions of children with adverse brain conditions, neurological conditions, because of breathing in constant carbon dioxide every single day. Now, I'm not even getting to the efficacy of that. I'm just showing you what happens when you breathe in carbon dioxide, your own carbon dioxide that should be expelled. So they lied to us again. Now, we're going to, I just want to bring you up to date on a few more things, then we're going to go to our guest, who's going to talk about the impact of geoengineering, global warming, and what we should know about what's happening right now in another part of the world. But also, here's a new study published in the peer-reviewed journal just out today, published in the peer-reviewed journal, Toxicology Reports, as warned, according to KCB over at the website, that, quote, COVID-19 vaccines are simply too high for children. The scientists in the United States and Europe reached this conclusion following a review of data showing the risks related to vaccines outweigh any potential benefits that may provide to the young. One of their chief concerns was the disease's relative low risk to young people. They wrote, quote, the bulk of the official COVID-19 attributed deaths per capita occur in the elderly with high comorbidities, and the COVID-19 attributed deaths per capita are negligible in children, end quote. Another concern they outlined was the fact that clinical vaccine trials only spanned a few months and that the samples used did not represent the overall population. The small size of the trials in adolescents and children have a poor predictive power, and the trials did not address any changes in biomarkers that would have served as early warning indicators for higher predisposition to serious disease. In addition, they wrote the long-term effects were, quote, ignored. They wrote, most importantly, the clinical trials did not address long-term effects that, if serious, would be borne by children, adolescents for potentially decades. One more official announcement that no one in the mainstream media will talk about, that children don't need the vaccine. So, something important. And also, for those of you who think it's just vaccines, from trial site staff, the majority of new cancer therapies are not producing meaningful clinical benefits, according to one major meta-analysis. Now, this is from the Beth Israel Medical Center and Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital. So you had a lot of centers working on this. And they looked at 362 industry-sponsored, meaning pro-chemotherapy, phase 3 randomized controlled trials, and that was from 2008 to 2017, with the results of the investigator study published in the Journal of the National Comprehensive Cancer Network. The team found, you ready for this, that more than 80% of oncology-focused therapies, there's your chemotherapy, investigated in phase 3 trials, failed to meet meaningful benefits such as extension of lifespan. That's correct. 87% of the studies analyzed turned out to be either false positive or true negative associated with overall survival rates. So all those millions of people who used only orthodox therapy had their immune systems crashed, they didn't benefit, and yet the oncologist keeps putting money in their pocket and be rewarded, high five for being a hero, and the whole part of that is a fraud. Their own science shows it. Have you seen anyone on the news talking about that, the failure? Looking at not a little sample, 362 separate industry. This is the industry itself, their own studies. Why aren't they looking about other therapies that could help these people? But they're not. More to come on all this. We're going to take a break. Come back with our guests. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, and I believe we should take on some of the issues the mainstream media is not that impact us. For example, what do you know about the depletion of the ozone layer and the frightening rise of the ultraviolet radiation and its consequences? It's happening over Antarctica. Not just a little hole, as we've had in the past, huge. What does this mean? Do you realize how long you can stay under an ozone hole like that before you burn your skin off? What about the melting of the snow, increasing the global warming, and the rise of tides? All of this is connected. My guest is Dane Wigington, W-I-G-I-N-G-T-O-N. He's talking to us by Skype from Mount Shasta region of California. Dane is a geoengineering scientist with a background in solar energy. He's highly regarded as one of the foremost experts and commentators on stratospheric aerosol geoengineering and solar radiation management. He used to work for the Bechtel Power Corporation and worked on the first commercial solar plants in the United States. As a climate researcher, he's been studying anthropocentric climate change, geoengineering technology, and operations for 15 years. And he's appeared in many documentary films. And also earlier this year, Dane released his groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which exposes global weather interventions and engineering operations and their observable consequences. Dane also hosts the weekly radio broadcast Global Alert News every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network. And he directs the website geoengineeringwatch.org for the latest updates and commentaries. on Geoengineering Science. Nice to have you with us, Dave.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for your willingness to
I want to address a recent video you released that concerns the rapid depletion of the ozone layer, and in particular, measurements taken to confirm that a certain wavelength of ultraviolet radiation has been increasingly reaching and scorching the Earth and all plant and animal life. So there are different ultraviolet radiations, UVA, UVB, and UVC. As you report, we are officially told that there is no UVC radiation reaching the Earth's surface. But you have evidence to the contrary. In fact, you've reported that UVC levels are increasingly becoming higher. And this is from scientists who were associated with NASA. And because I don't want this to be a too technical discussion, many of the listeners may not be able to follow it then, please summarize what makes UVC different than the other kinds of ultraviolet radiation, and what are the greater health and environmental risks when UVC reaches the planet, because we are told that it doesn't, nor should it reach the planet, and rather it is simply absorbed in the atmosphere. Take your time, the forum is yours.
We are told that it stops 100,000 feet up, which is not true. And the former NASA contract engineer that works directly with geoengineeringwatch.org with state-of-the-art equipment is monitoring extraordinarily high levels of UVC radiation. You are correct about the dangers. It is a DNA-damaging spectrum of radiation. Below UVC, we have X-ray, and I think most know how lethal that is. But we're not just seeing UVC. We're seeing extraordinarily high levels of UVB as well. And the ozone hole is not just over Antarctica, as many have been led to believe. Here's a headline from last year from Scientific American. It's the huge ozone hole over the Arctic is puzzling. That's from Smithsonian as well. There was mainstream media coverage of this, but most are unaware of it. The damaging of the ozone layer can be felt on the skin, on surfaces. It not only increases the UV radiation, but we have infrared as well coming in now. And this spectrum of radiation, Gary, is a sterilizing spectrum. So it's extraordinarily harmful to microbial life, the soil microbiomes, for example, in the forest, plankton. The potential damage from this is unquantifiable. And also on plant life, crop production, all of it is extraordinarily at risk at this point. And at the current rate of ozone layer deterioration and UVC escalation, mathematically, statistically, if we remain in the current course and the current rate of destruction continues, we could face total ozone layer collapse later this decade. And it's not just the CFCs, the chlorofluorocarbons, that we've been led to believe is the sole source. We know climate engineering operations in many ways are hugely damaging to the ozone layer, not just from the aerosols that are sprayed into the atmosphere, but also from the radio frequency microwave transmissions that are used to manipulate those aerosols.
That's extremely serious. Why is there such a discrepancy between the truth that you have found and the official position?
This is where it must be considered that if populations around the world were to become aware of the fact that they have been committed to a global experiment on Earth's life support systems from which there is no return, committed to that experiment without public knowledge or consent, without any environmental impact review whatsoever, at least none that we know of, we would argue that the liability issues would be incalculable, that could cause a shockwave, would cause a shockwave around the world. We have Senate documents, for example, posted at geoengineeringwatch.org as one example of the governmental documents we have. We have an example of a Senate document, 800 pages long, posted on our site, key points highlighted, that calls for total blanket legal immunity for anyone and everyone involved in these programs for obvious reasons, much like areas I know you well know, pharmaceutical industry, blanket legal immunity for the vaccine manufacturers. Same true in the climate engineering arena. And also this Senate document, this particular one and others, call for international cooperation because of the cross-border ramifications of climate engineering. You can't just climate engineer over your country without affecting the entire planet. And So the global cooperation is certainly inarguable. And again, it is called for in the Senate document, in spite of other conflicting issues between powers, they're definitely colluding and cooperating on the climate engineering issue.
Take us through, in lay language, what is happening now and where? How large a hole is this? I don't think people understand that it's not a small hole. It's gigantic. In fact, if you were to put this ozone hole over the United States, how much of the United States would it cover? And then what happens to life, whether it's plant life or human life or animal life, aquatic life, once it is absorbing this ultraviolet radiation?
Well, if we overlaid the Antarctic hole over the U.S., I believe it's two or three times the size of the continental U.S. And again, it's not a isolated a reduction in the ozone layer. It's global. And the ozone layer waxes and wanes depending on the time of day and the seasons and so forth. And it appears, based on some of the data that we have, that from the climate engineering standpoint, that they may, and this is an extraordinary statement, but those that are engineering the climate may consider the hole in some cases to be advantageous to them because it allows can allow surface cooling of the planet, allow some of the heat to escape. And at what cost? At what cost do they mask the true severity of planetary meltdown? In regard to, again, the factors affecting the ozone depletion, the paradox is it appears to us from the data we have, from the perspective of the climate engineers, they feel they must constantly ramp up their programs to ever higher levels to try to mitigate, or rather, I should say, mask the damage done from their programs in the first place. Is that not a true definition of insanity? So as far as damage to the web of life, we are seeing that damage in real time. We have globally, backed up with peer-reviewed study, 80 to 90% decline in terrestrial insect populations. Plankton populations down 60 to 70%. No plankton, no people. No insects, no people. Now, I'm not blaming all of this on climate engineering. Certainly not. We know we've been horrible stewards of planet Earth from too many different directions to calculate. But our argument at geoengineeringwatch.org is that how can we have any legitimate discussion about the climate from any perspective without addressing this elephant in the equation?
You and your colleagues at Geoengineering Watch are constantly monitoring and tracking weather patterns and changes. What changes are you observing that are essentially of concern to all of us? For example, how are the weather patterns altering the living conditions based upon weather changes in different regions of the United States? For example, the West and Southwest are getting drier and in a permanent drought, and the Northeast is getting wetter. And how is geoengineering, in addition to the other factors associated with climate change, global warming, contributing to these changing patterns?
That's a profoundly important question. In the case of the cutting off of precipitation to the U.S. West, we can say with absolute certainty that whatever the motive, whatever the agendas, is directly linked to climate engineering operations. We must have more overall rain on a warming planet. And the planet appears, based on the data we have, frontline data, we believe that we may be past 3.5 degrees C right now. The atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. Yes, you have increased evaporation, but because you have that over the oceans as well, you have an overall increase in precipitation on a warming planet, not a decrease in precipitation. We are seeing an overall decrease. That can't happen without an element we're not being told about, and that element is climate engineering. So in regard to the cutting off of precipitation in the U.S. West, a form of radio frequency microwave transmission that is admitted by the HARP facility in Alaska. Many of your listeners may have heard that. I don't want to dive too deep into the rabbit hole, but it's called an ionosphere heater. It's an extraordinarily powerful ground-based microwave transmitter that can heat the ionosphere to extraordinarily high temperatures. That causes a pressure dome in the atmosphere. It's referred to meteorologically as a high-pressure heat dome in the West. Many have probably heard of the high-pressure dome that's keeping the rain away from the West. In the Northern Hemisphere, that rotates clockwise. it rotates the upper level winds clockwise around that high pressure dome, which is rotating moisture that should have gone into the west through Alaska, where the climate engineers nucleate that moisture with cloud seeding, with what's called chemical ice nucleating elements, which creates a surface cool down on the ground. As it rotates around that clockwise rotation, it goes back down, picks up more moisture from the Gulf, and comes straight up the eastern seaboard, exactly as you described. So what do we see from this pattern since 2007, when this pattern was first established? And we know the transmissions are coming out of this facility in Alaska and others because we have the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, documentation restricting air traffic around that site because of their transmissions. So we know they're transmitting. So now we have the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48 states for the last 9 years running, 9 years in a row, the most consistently less warm region in the entire world. That's statistically, mathematically impossible unless there's an intervention going on. That intervention is climate engineering, and that has dramatically helped to confuse and divide the majority of the U.S. population, which live in the eastern half of the U.S., as to the true state of the climate. In the west here, the conditions are absolutely hellish. I live in a lush forest only 15 years ago, 70 inches of rain annually on the east side of Lake Shasta. We have not had rain since March, over 6 months, been in triple-digit temperatures. We've seen temperatures here in the forest of Northern California at midnight of 95 degrees at midnight. The forest is dying at a blinding pace. It's completely imploding, and they can keep these conditions over us as long as they want. And GeoengineeringWatch.org, Gary, has said so on the record for now going on 2 decades. We've stated so on the record that this would happen. Could not happen if these operations were allowed to continue.
What could possibly be their motive to over-drench the eastern United States with multiple deaths and massive destruction into the tens of billions of dollars in property, and then cause this severe drought in the West? Why would they do this?
This is where it's imperative to understand the severity of what we face. The planet, based on collapsing fisheries, collapsing crops, cannot support populations any longer. Those in power are not using climate modification for benevolent purposes. It is about power and control. The technical term for your listeners, again, is solar radiation management. The technical reason for the application, or the stated reason, is to block some of the sun's incoming thermal energy, i.e. heat, to slow down the rapid warming of our planet. They look at it as a risk-to-risk scenario from their perspective, the perspective of retaining their power and control, the risk of doing it versus the risk of not doing it. When they can cool the eastern U.S., as I described, and confuse and divide the population as the true state of the climate, and thus thwart any legitimate global warming mitigation actions being taken, they can thus control the narrative, control the perceptions of the population. And next, this is a major aspect of what's going on. It's a major aspect of what I've described, the high-pressure dome in the west, rotating the moisture around that, cooling east, because that moisture then continues up toward Greenland. And they are, it appears, willing to kill off the planet's remaining life support systems in order to mask the severity of Arctic meltdown until the last possible moment. Why is that so important? Because there are massive methane deposits in the Arctic. We believe we're seeing the signs of significant methane expulsion right now, which means formerly frozen methane deposits, methane hydrate, methane clathrate, in Arctic tundra and on the Arctic seafloor, is thawing and releasing. That's critically important because methane over a 10-year time horizon, the climate science community will not admit to this, it's 120 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. And thus, this methane is migrating into the atmosphere right now. It's covering the planet like a layer of glass. That's why we're seeing nighttime low temperatures rise twice as fast as daytime highs. The paradox with climate engineering, and again, the particular pattern that they have set up in the Northern Hemisphere and especially over North America, is that although it temporarily masks some of the heating in the Arctic, it comes at the cost of destroying the planet's remaining life support systems. But it appears they're willing to make that exchange. Much like the pharmaceutical cure for the human body that claims to treat a certain symptom, you look at the side effects, you wonder who would possibly go down that road, but many do. So it's ultimately about power and control. They're trying desperately to confuse the population as to the true state of climate meltdown. That's why the big freezes like in Dallas, Texas that we've seen, or Denver, Colorado, where it goes from literally 85-degree record high to 12 degrees in less than 24 hours. That's chemical ice nucleation with cloud moisture. They're confusing and dividing the population as to the true state of planetary meltdown. They're trying to mask the meltdown in the Arctic at the cost of worsening the overall situation in both cases.
Who are the they?
All roads lead to the central bankers, those who print the money, those who control the central banks, control militaries, thus they control governments. If we look at what we know the Pentagon is missing since the late 90s, officially $30 trillion, where did that money come from in the first place, and how do you go missing on $30 trillion? So ultimately, all roads lead back to the central bankers, and countries around the globe are either actively or passively cooperating in these programs. It can't be otherwise. What do we see, for example, at the international climate conferences? Let's take two, for example, Copenhagen and Cancun, two of the major international climate conferences. What we saw at those two conferences were record low temperatures at the conference, at the time of the conference, in spite of above normal temperatures in all the surrounding areas. How is that possible? That's a demonstration of climate engineering to all those in attendance who are strong-armed behind doors to go along with these programs and pretend that they're cutting carbon when they're not. They have no intention of cutting carbon. They simply, in their unimaginable arrogance and hubris, believe that they can continue to tech treat our dying planet indefinitely. It's a very naive notion.
This is all speculative because we have no hard proof of it, so it's a supposition. It's your hypothesis. In time, hopefully we'll find where the truth actually is. My final question is simple. We know that the UVC exposure is increasing. We know that it's impacting plant life, destroying whole forests, and causing all forms of other profound adverse impacts. What then can you say that is not being said by the mainstream media that allows us, you and your colleagues, for example, to monitor all this and simply say, here is the likely scenario as far as the impact upon heat waves, droughts, floods, unusual and extreme weather patterns, and storms that we've never seen in history. For example, what they say is the once in 500-year storms, and we had seven of them in 6 months. What do you see happening? So if people wanted to look prophetically through your vision over the next 3 to 5 years?
I would prefer they look at our data. And if I can clarify something for the record in regard to, for example, the atmospheric aerosol dispersions, we're not speculating, we're not theorizing, we're not hypothesizing. We have up-close film footage of these aircraft at altitude, nozzles visible, turning on and off. That is a sprayed dispersion, period. And we took a NOAA, as you know, if you saw the dimming, our documentary at theimagingwatch.org, we took a NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration Flying Lab, to altitude with top scientists. We sampled the materials being emitted by these aircraft, and we found primary climate engineering elements, starting with aluminum, highly toxic, named in climate engineering patents. So in regard to these operations occurring, that is definitely not speculation. And in regard to the manipulation of the type of storms you just described, I would encourage your listeners to search geoengineeringwatch.org, hurricanes, and they can see that we have recorded again and again and again, Hurricane Harvey and more recent hurricanes as well, the ground-based radio frequency microwave transmitters that are used to steer those storms over the continental U.S. without question. We have the actual recordings of the energizing of the transmitters inarguably steering those storms. So it's absolutely happening. In regard to the foreseeable near-term horizon, based on mathematical trajectories, ozone layer deterioration, the collapse of the hydrological cycle, which climate engineering is further fueling, I would argue we don't have long before it's going to become extraordinarily challenging, and food production will be incredibly difficult, and I don't think the power structure can hide that much longer. And I would argue when they can't hide it from the populations, They may do incredibly desperate, take incredibly desperate actions. So we will see when that occurs, but I would argue that time frame is perilously close.
What does that mean?
I can't know exactly what cards they will play, but I would argue again, at the point in time that they can't hide the severity and immediacy of what's unfolding, that they may take many different forms of action. I don't want to speculate in that.
Okay, don't speculate
regard.
Because things suddenly
ground,
step over line in the conspiracy
if
theory.
The public realizes that, and this is even called out in some of the governmental documents we have, you know, the avoiding public panic over the severity of the planet's ability to support populations.
All right. Dane, thank you for being on today. We appreciate it. I want to get to our calls. So we've shared a lot of information. Something else that just came in, and this is a declaration. Thank you, Deborah Hine, for sending it. Quote, over 3,000 doctors and scientists signed declaration accusing COVID policymakers of crimes against humanity. That means that the woman you saw earlier speaking about how they're going to censor everything, they're going to use their computer system, their power of the internet control to make sure that no other voices are heard. But what if those other voices hold the truth? We already showed you the doctor who saved lives, thousands of lives, in the front line. He's now losing all of his credentials, all of his affiliations, after a 40-year impeccable career. And then he shared his information with thousands of other doctors. Now they're going after all of them. You cannot use ivermectin, you can't use hydrochloroquine, you can't use anything except vaccines and remdesivir, which has also been shown to have a 25% mortality rate. Quote, a physician's declaration produced by an international alliance of physicians and medical scientists strongly condemns the global strategy to treat COVID, accusing policymakers of potential crimes against humanity for preventing physicians from providing life-saving treatments for their patients and suppressing open scientific discussion. The document states that, quote, one-size-fits-all treatment recommendations have resulted in needless illness and death. So they sent this out. Another group of physicians and scientists met in Rome earlier this month for a three-day global COVID summit to speak truth to power about COVID pandemic. You didn't hear about it. So there's tens of thousands of scientists, medical professionals, and doctors who are fighting back. But the media doesn't provide them with any information, and the social media has rejected all their use of a platform. So it's just shows like this and others that allow that truth to come out. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Your time to talk back. We're going to say goodbye to WBAI, to go to the news. And by the way, I'm still looking to hire a special projects coordinator full-time in our office, in office, in New York City. I'm hiring a bookkeeper full-time in New York City. I'm also hiring a caretaker for a property in Texas full-time. Nice pay and accommodation. And also hiring an archivist who will sit every day in a special studio and just watch videos and then just simply log them where they will go in a in an archive. They don't edit. They just watch and say, okay, this film on cancer will go under the cancer, and here's how long it is, here's the person. And so all of these, if you're interested, you go to prnstudio@gmail.com. Put down your resume. prnstudio@gmail.com. Now we'll see about the calls that are coming in, and as soon as we have a call, I'll be happy to take it. And it's time for the people to speak back. Talk back to power. And there's a smart way and a not-so-smart way to do it. And by the way, wasn't it interesting the thousands upon thousands of teachers who showed up to protest? They're not anti-vaccine. They're anti-lack of freedom of choice. And a lot of those teachers already had gotten COVID and therefore had natural immunity. And to suggest that you should give a booster shot or a vaccine to a person already has natural immunity, you're in Never Never Land, because you do not know what that can do. And yet we have thousands of individuals who've been injured and they're not being reported. The statistics are completely wrong. And unfortunately, that information is not getting out to the public about how bad it actually is. And it's really bad. We have all that data. And let's just say, Rodney, do we have anyone on the line? And Jamie from New Jersey, your turn.
Hello, Gary. This is Jamie. I was thinking about how we could combat the negative input that we all get from the not getting a shot. And I think somehow music has to be part of what we have to convey our thoughts and our feelings about. I don't know, music brought in the 60s and the 70s and got some action done. And I was hoping that some of our listeners could get the idea and also do some promoting of music and promote what we want to hear.
Okay, let's put it a little different way, possibly. Jamie, let's reach out to all of the musicians, the ones that people recognize, and ask them, now we're faced with fascism, we're faced with censorship, we're faced with, and I'll deal with this tomorrow, and I'm going to quote a constitutional lawyer on this from the Rutherford Institute, John Whitehead. He's saying that the next thing we can expect is detention in prisons and detention centers for those who they deem a threat to the country for refusing a vaccine. And also they're telling the Justice Department these people should be considered domestic terrorists. There's also a bill currently in Congress, we'll deal with that tomorrow, that anyone who makes a statement critical of Anthony Fauci has engaged in a hate crime. Yeah, that's how bad it is. But Jimmy Dore will be on tomorrow talking about the lies of Anthony Fauci and the new 900-page group of documents that The Intercept got showing that, indeed, Anthony Fauci did lie before Congress. He's doubling down. He's a pathological liar, according to Jimmy Dore, and so therefore he should be held accountable. But the deep state is protecting him. In fact, everyone's protecting him. So it's important we understand what we're up against. But if we have people, musicians willing to write and produce songs that show our current plight as new anthems for protest, that would be constructive. And we do have Roger Waters and others who are doing exactly that, but only a handful. So let's put that word out. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. And Rodney, do we have anyone else online? Okay, then we're out of time, everyone. Remember, we do have a 7.5-hour webinar, the definitive information on how to protect yourself, how to survive COVID. It's now up and you can download it. How to survive COVID. It also tells you the safest places to move to, the states where you're going to have your freedom of choice and rights protected. And that's important you know that too, because a lot of you are going to have a choice now. Either take the vaccines or move. And I would move before I would take a vaccine if I was given no alternative and only given an ultimatum, because these people intend to punish everyone because it stands in their way of total hegemonic power in the United States. Have a nice day, everyone.